Hallo und herzlich willkommen zum Algentalk. Mein Name ist Boris Rogosch und in diesem Podcast treffe ich mich mit Menschen zum Gespräch, die alle auf die ein oder andere Art mit dem Thema Algen und Essen zu tun haben. Ich möchte herausfinden, was meine Gesprächspartner so faszinierend an Algen finden. Was macht diese so einzigartig und warum sollte man sie auf jeden Fall auch essen? Was lässt sich konkret daraus zubereiten und vor allem wie? Von Meeresbiologen über Algenfarmer bis zu Köchen sprechen wir über Algenanbau, Ernte, Umweltaspekte, die wertvollen Inhaltsstoffe, über Zubereitungsarten und natürlich auch über den Geschmack von Algen. Und für diese Episode habe ich Jens Held auf Langeland besucht und Jens erntet Blasentank und nutzt diesen für diverse Produkte, unter anderem für Fisch mit Blasentankpesto. Er liefert aber auch Blasentank an eine Brauerei für die Erzeugung von Bier. Es werden Cracker produziert, es wird Brot mit dem Blasentank gebacken und außerdem hat er auch noch eine ganz besondere Form von geräucherten Blasentank, der wirklich ganz, ganz wunderbar ist. Die Firma von Jens Held heißt Hausmark und er kümmert sich eben darum, dass Blasentank und andere Algen in unserer Region populär werden und sich als fester Bestandteil unserer Nahrung entwickeln. Und dann habe ich mich noch mit Bernd Sörensen vom Community Ocean Garden in Kerteminde getroffen und habe mir angeschaut, wie sie dort auf einer Plattform Miesmuscheln und Zuckertank kultivieren. Dieser Podcast ist im Rahmen des Interreg-Projektes Alge Food entstanden. Die deutsch-dänischen Partner hinter diesem Projekt haben sich zum Ziel gesetzt, Algen in der regionalen Esskultur als Teil einer gesunden und nachhaltigen Ernährung zu etablieren und als Lebensmittel bekannter und beliebter zu machen. Und jetzt viel Spaß bei dem Gespräch mit Jens Held, das ich im Übrigen auf Englisch geführt habe. So, und jetzt sitze ich hier am Strand, am Ufer der Ostsee auf Langeland. Und neben mir sitzt Jens Held. You know what Held means in German? The hero.
Yeah, the same in Denmark.
Oh yeah?
Yeah. It's my family, I think. It's from generations. But it's from the west part of Jutland. And
oh, yeah?
They also have a fish called Held.
Ah.
So it might be that. It's family to trout. A trout fish, but it's very good with smoke.
Okay. I mean, you're into algaes,
yeah.
But you also like fishing.
Yeah.
That I've learned.
Yeah, yeah.
And you do, is it an English word, spearfishing?
Yeah. Or, yeah.
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 You do spearfishing in the Baltic Sea.
Yeah.
And what is your favorite fish there?
Flounders.
Flounders?
Yeah, yeah. We can't now and then shoot sea running trouts, but it's very hard. Because they are much faster than you are, and if you are have to succeed, you have to hide in the bladder rack and just lie there for hours, just totally still. And I don't have the energy for that. I have to swim around and chase.
So then it's much easier to harvest the bladder rack.
Yeah, for
the
sure.
The bladder rack is Blasentank in Deutsch.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, we have like 2 meters. Until the water begins,
yeah,
and then another 2 meter, no, another 50 centimeters, and we have the first bladder egg.
Yes.
So this is your field here.
Yeah, it is.
This is one of your spots where you harvest.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Normally we will be out in April and May, and the water will be a bit cooler, mm-hmm. and I might be out for 8 or 10 hours. So one of the most important things is that you have very good boots on,
yeah.
Because they are the bladder wreck are living on small rocks,
yeah.
So it's very rocky where you're going, so you have to take care and don't fall and harvest there. So it's one of the issues that we have to take care. But it's not deep. You can see it lives in the zone between high and low tide,
yeah.
So it's not deep. It's out to 1 meter or something and up to 50 centimeter or something like
so
that.
So it looks easy and it sounds easy, but you're not harvesting the whole plant. You're just cutting the
Yeah, the very top of it.
The very top
of
it.
Yeah, yeah. And you can have some bladders to go along, but not too deep, for, because if you cut too deep, one, it won't. It would take a lot of time to grow out again, and also you have a lot of filthy stuff on the bladder rack, and you don't want to eat that. So then you have to, when you cut too deep, you have to take it out afterwards, and yeah, it will take some time.
Okay.
Do that.
You, is it allowed to go out here and just harvest? And do you need any permission?
As it is now, you can go and harvest where you like. There's a lot of safety you should do. If you go by, if you are a private person, you are free to go where you want. And there's some regulations you should look into be certain that you are away from harbors and so on, yeah, so you can have pollution. You have to do it where the water is fresh. You should harvest species, you know, don't harvest too much and stuff like that. But as me, as where I have a company, I have to.
So yeah, we need to say that it's not a hobby.
No,
I mean,
no,
you're doing
no.
that
yeah.
professionally.
Yeah, yeah.
What is your job?
I don't know. Seaweed harvester. Seaweed. But it's not just the seaweed harvesting. I also make products with seafood. So I have all the product lines and selling part of so on in my company.
You not only harvest, not only preparing the bladdering.
Yeah.
It's only that, or you also work with Zuckertang, or
now it's just bladderwreck.
Bladderwreck.
From now on, yeah.
Yeah. Okay. So because you like that more,
yeah,
and it's more tasty,
yeah,
you said,
yeah,
than Zuckertang.
Yeah. Way more. And also, this is also it's also about to make new food for the future.
Yeah.
And I love the sea, and I really can see, because I've been spending so many hours in the water where I've been diving and spearfishing, that the bladder rack is so important for the environmental or the life in the sea.
Yeah.
So if we could grow bladder rack, would be a huge benefit for our nature, if we could have fields in the water with bladder rack.
In there you find the fish kindergarten,
yeah,
and some other,
yeah,
kindergartens,
yeah,
as well.
Yeah.
By the way, you have opened a beer.
Yeah.
What is? It's, is it a special one?
Yeah. It's also it's a pale ale from Langeland. It's a castle called Brolykke, the south part at Langeland. And I delivered a seaweed to them, and they make this pale ale.
We tried.
Yeah, cheers. And I think the flavor of seaweed is not that high. I think it's a bit of twist on the backside of the taste of.
If I would have not known that there is some seaweed in,
yeah,
I would have not recognized it.
No,
but yeah, but it's a nice beer.
Yeah,
it's a very good beer.
Yeah.
And how much is there in there? How much do you need for?
They are just for 2 days ago started a new batch, and they brought 5 kilo to them, and they will brew about 30,000 bottles or something. So
okay,
it's not that much.
It's not that much,
no,
but.
Yeah, yeah.
Since when are you working with seaweed?
I've been going on for 5 years now.
Yeah.
And actually, I'm started as a teacher, where I was teaching young people in how to cook with wildlife. So it's much with how to prepare fish, how to cook a fish, and how to prepare it. If we are out hunting, what kind of, how should you cook a pheasant and so on. And then I give it a try with bladder rack, and I couldn't get it taste like. And many of my students were into BTS, this South Korean band.
Mm-hmm.
And they, oh, Jens, can we make something with this with seaweed, and can we make this with seaweed?
Because in Korea, it's very, very famous.
Yeah,
yeah.
And they made some very good soup, ramen soup, and so on. And with we imported seaweed from South Korea, And I know that we have more than 300 species in Denmark.
Yeah.
So why? Yeah, why don't we make it ourselves?
And this is not very sustainable, huh?
No, it's not. So
and you have it in front of your house.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, the good thing is Jens is just living from the next shore. How many meters? 300?
Yeah.
No, or less.
About 300 meters.
Okay, so... Yeah. So he's a guy from the coast.
Yeah.
And he always was into water. So
yeah.
Then it's very close that you have found your profession in that.
Yeah.
The professional seaweeder.
Yeah.
But the question is you said you harvested it? You just take
the top of the
The plant, do we say plant in this way? Or
You could say plant. Yeah. Or it is an algae, but you can say plant.
Okay.
Yeah.
Of the algae.
Yeah.
And then you put it in your truck and you drive home. And what happens then with the algae?
Yeah, it depends. If it's one of our canned products, we have a factory where we deliver the bladder rack and they freeze it down. So then when we ordered, we have to refreeze it and then make our...
So you bring it fresh there or you freeze it?
Fresh.
Fresh.
Yeah.
Okay. So for the cans, for the fish cans, it's fresh and they work with that fresh product.
Yes.
And they make a tongue pesto out of it.
Yeah.
And add fish.
Yeah. And if we want some of the crackers, then I deliver the seaweed to the bakery.
Okay, now I can try one of the crackers.
Yeah. Oh, it's munchies. It's like chips from India.
Oh, yeah.
It's a producer from... it's a girl that is married to a guy from India, and she have developed those munchies. And it was the Indian style in the beginning, so I thought that we might make some munches from Denmark. So we have some munches where we use seaweed and also Danish peaches.
Yeah.
So we have a sustainable, good product instead of flour. Then we have much more protein. And,
yeah.
And also I think when we talk with the farmers that we have to... make peaches and lenses and so on in the future. So that's also a shout out to help the farmers.
The bladderwrack, is that something you can use instead of lenses?
No, not that way, because the lenses are good because you want all the proteins and we want the farmers not to grow pig food, but we want them by lenses for human food, so we have our protein that way. That's more sustainable, and that's the future, how our farming should be in the future, I think.
This is not cultivated, what we see here. This is just wild growing.
Yeah.
Is there an idea to cultivate it, or you say there is enough around the island and you have your spots where you can harvest?
Yeah, for now it's okay at this amount I use right now, but in the future it will be a huge benefit for the nature if we could cultivate it and grow it. So this is a part of my plan and dreams that we in the future could grow bladderwrack.
Yeah,
but we need people to want it. We need to implement it in our food and so on.
You have to also work on the other end that they and that's why you're developing so many products.
Yeah. Normally, you just can go up to a factory and walk up to a factory and say, "Hey, I got some ideas," but I have a friend, knowing them, say, "Well, you have to meet up with these guys," and then I show them what I could with tastes and what I could make with.
But this is a lot of groundwork.
Yeah.
Did you expect that?
No. And also because I think I have I'm good at flavors, and I think I've made some strong product. And then I thought, well, it might sell itself, but it doesn't. It takes time. And also because it's some new stuff and people they have to taste it You have to put it on some kind of a mega and a way where you can tell people or not just tell them, but you really have to taste it before
they have
can
to. Yeah, they have to try it, yeah. and they have to be open for trying it,
yeah.
Because we all know those people who say no.
Yeah.
Why?
Yeah. Yeah. Then it's a waste of time. But I've learned that if I start ask people, do you like fish? And they say yes.
Okay.
Then I say I have something.
You have your strategy.
Yeah. You will like this one too. And if they say no, I don't like fish, then well, I can't help you with this one.
Okay. But how do you develop those recipes? I mean, are you at home in your kitchen and say, well, I cook it, I fermented it, how you do that?
Yeah. Actually, yeah. I got ideas all the time. My wife sometimes shout out when I say, hey, I got an idea. She just,
And she's your test dummy, right? She has to try everything.
Yeah. And also
she likes it?
Yeah.
Okay.
And also my family, they help me, and especially my daughter is very good at taste too. And we can all discuss things and how should it do.
Cool.
And how should it be.
That's cool.
Yeah.
And what would you say? What is the most famous recipe people should start with if they are not into it, if they want to try it for the first time?
I think the crackers would
the
be
crackers,
nice.
Yeah.
Yeah, because
those crackers I had here.
Yeah,
yeah, those are brilliant. I mean,
yeah.
But is that what I see here? The darker green.
Yeah, is that's bladderwrack. Yeah.
And right now the bladderwrack is brown yellow.
Yeah.
And what happens if you...
If you just put them in boiling water, if you go out and harvest now, that you should make sure that you don't have a disease or so on, so you can boil it for 1-2 minutes.
Yeah.
And then it would start to go totally green,
pistachio
green. Yeah, it's so beautiful in the flavor. And then you can swallow it in cold water, wash it in cold water, add a bit of salt, and then cut it... slice it up in very fine and put it in salads. Then you will have this crunchy feeling, tasteful.
Okay, so just 1 or 2 minutes in.
Yeah.
And if I find some bladderwrack outside in the German areas, for example, for our German listeners, can I collect it and try it? Or would you say be careful?
Be careful. You should know where to take it from. You should know your areas.
Yeah.
And especially what it contains of yard and so on. You should know your area. You should know that the place are fresh.
Okay. And how do you make sure that the quality is good? You make an analysis?
Yeah,
or?
Yeah. We pay every 4 years for a lot of analysis in our area. So we are certain.
So, but you say, well, use it as a salad or just bake it.
Yeah.
With bread and or crackers.
Yeah. Yeah.
And what else can we do with it?
My best advice is that chop it up very fine and mix it together with sunflower and flour.
Yeah.
And then bake it or air fry it.
Mm-hmm.
And also deep fry it.
Yeah.
It should have some fat to go along with this. If you really like to go for the taste of seaweed, then you should add some fat to it.
And what kind of fat would you do?
Yeah, for instance, this, I have a product that is dried and smoked seaweed.
Dried and smoked?
Yeah.
Now we come to a point.
Yeah, and then I crush it and then blend it in with butter. So you have the taste of butter and fat, and the bladderwrack is so
from,
nice.
From here it looks like capers.
Yeah,
yeah?
It does. Yeah.
Mm. Okay.
But I think the flavor of it is not that interesting as it is raw. You should try to use it with oil or in a marinade. It's so beautiful.
Wow.
So beautiful.
Wow.
And when you fill it on with oil, then it still is crunchy. Otherwise, it also is together with oil.
And that's great.
Yeah.
That yeah. is really great.
Yeah. Yeah.
And is this natural salt or do you add some salt here?
I add a bit of salt and a bit of lemon.
Lemon?
And, yeah, mm-hmm. and that's because I want to make a fermenting process in the bladder rack there.
Mm-hmm.
That's why we can make this taste like that. And we have a huge drum to dry it in.
Mm-hmm.
I've developed with a friend, an engineer. And then we dry it for 60 degrees for a half day, 12 okay. hour.
I can imagine that there are some chefs out in the world or
yeah.
in that area
yeah.
who come to you and say,
yeah.
well, let's talk.
Yeah, yeah.
I need your products.
Yeah.
How does it work? Do people call you and say, well...
Yeah, they write me a mail or something
yeah.
like that. Then we find out something. Then we could make a talk and I can make a send them a sample of it. And we talk about what is the amount and what do you need it for and so on.
And you also give advices and you also
sure.
go in workshops with them.
Yeah.
You're very passionate
yeah.
about what you're doing.
Yes.
Huh? It's not
yeah.
a job.
No. It's a way of living. yeah.
You like that word pioneer?
Yeah.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Yeah?
That me.
So... To summarize, I mean, what products do we have? We have here the beer,
yeah.
which is brilliant,
yeah.
by the way.
Actually, I'm not selling that one. It's not on the market. It's on the market from Borlüge.
Okay,
yeah.
then we have the crackers
yeah.
here.
Yeah, it's from a local bakery where I deliver the seaweed. And then
and
we
you have that on your homepage? I can order
yeah.
it from your page? Okay.
Yes, yeah.
yeah.
And we have this munchies, those snacks with salt and a light chili.
I didn't have the chili.
No, you have to try that one too. It's not strong though.
I'm sorry, it's cracking.
Yeah.
Now.
And then I have a herring. And this is actually, it started the thing.
The herring?
Yeah.
Mm.
And it's, I've made the pesto and at Munkebo Seafood, the factory I worked together with, they yeah.
So, and this is herring with?
Yeah. And then the bladder egg pesto is in the bottom.
Yeah.
And it's actually started with the factory have to go to France and they have a buyer down there.
Yeah.
And they in France they put it out on a pan, a fry pan and heat it. And they really like this flavor of fat fish and
seaweed.
Well,
we can also do it here. We don't need to go to France for that.
No, yeah. of course not. But I think now I use sell it like in a tapas or something. So
yeah.
it's so nice as a lunch.
And that
we have restaurants just sell them in a can with bread
wow.
and salad. And
wow.
just easy to and ready to go.
And what kind of oil are you using for that?
That is raps.
Raps oil?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
And how do we manage to try it? Do we have a fork now?
Or yeah.
Do
I,
yeah. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
Then we have this smoked.
Yeah. It's.
I try to. I cold rørt tang.
Kolrød tang. It's
oh,
it's smoked in cold air.
The tongue has to roll a little bit. Huh?
Yeah.
A cold rørt tang.
Kold rørt tang.
Oh, cold rørt tang.
Yeah.
It doesn't work. I have to.
Yeah.
Yeah, I have to try more.
Yeah, yes. Yeah, it's a very special product because I think the flavor is so nice and it's very hard to produce.
Yeah.
Because when I harvest 50 kilo and put it in the drum and dry
yeah.
it, and it's dried up, I stand with 6 kilo. Normally in the food business, you go other way. You put salt and water in the stuff, and you have more and more and more.
Yeah.
So it's a special product. And then I have to smoke it for 24 hours, and then especially the special species of wood is
yeah.
very important because it's very hard to give smoke to a dry product like this one. But I manage. And then I have to dry it again. Because it's very, very important that it's totally dry.
Yeah.
Because if you
yeah.
get wet, it starts to rot.
Yeah, yeah, of course.
Yeah.
This I love that. I love
yeah.
that. Anything else? I
yeah.
mean, this is quite a lot. And some more products?
Yeah. Oh. I have this. This is a pollock.
A pollock?
Yeah.
Which is close to?
Dorsche.
Dorsche.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And they have a cutter. at the factory where they put fish in it.
Yeah.
And then I told them to put it in frozen, because you have a lot of juice from the fish then.
Yeah.
And the juice is so nice if you want to make a stew and you make a sauce, then you use all the juice from the fish. It's so nice and tasteful.
So I can use that as a cold dish with also with bread or yeah. on a salad,
yeah.
or I can also use that for heating up and
yeah.
probably bring that up to a pasta sauce or whatever.
Yeah. Yeah. yeah, it's perfect for that.
Yeah,
for sure.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And you can also take the can in boiling water and for 5 minutes and put it up, and then you have a hot dish.
Because also good.
The can is, when they produce it, they put it in hot steam to 120 degrees. So you have to be careful when you open it because there's a pressure in it. Yeah, that's also a good product. And it's MSC certified fish.
Yeah, pollock.
Both of them, yeah. Also the herring.
Yeah, I tried that later.
Yeah.
Quite a lot of products.
Yeah.
And more are coming, I suppose.
Yeah, yeah, of course. But now I have some business associates that say, don't come up with new things. We have to sell what we have now.
Yeah.
We make a business from this.
Yeah, yeah. Okay, you can't do...
I got ideas all the time.
This is a problem, huh?
Yeah. yeah.
But you have to finalize ideas, and also you on the other side you also have to harvest because without the harvest, nothing works. Are you worried about something here out in the ocean?
Of course, of course. That's what it's all about because we have a lot of fertilizers in Denmark, and it's a huge problem.
Yeah.
With our fjords and the coastline here is so polluted now and then. So but here in those area where we are now, around Langeland, we have a lot of current and fresh water. So it's not a problem just right here. But in our forests and so on, in the deeper waters, we have huge problems.
Okay.
Yeah. So we have to figure out how to... not make food for pigs and grow so intensively in our farmland in Denmark. Yeah. That's a huge problem.
And that's why you said, I mean, more algae would help to regenerate the ocean.
Yeah.
And on the other side, they bring food. But the worry of a lot of people is if those algae clear the ocean, I hear people very often say, I won't eat the things who clean the water, because all the dirt must be in that algae or in that mussel or in that oyster.
Yeah, it depends on what kind of pollution are you talking about. If it's about a yacht, then we know can measure in our area how much yacht we have in it. If it's other kinds of chemicals, it's more a problem with fish.
Yeah.
Because if it's when a fish eat a smaller fish, then it eat probably about 100, and then it will collect more and more and more. Where the bladder rack is in the very bottom of the food chain, so it don't combine so much bad stuff in it.
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah.
So yeah, I mean, you have to be open. To try it. I mean, like that knäckebrot here.
Yeah.
How do you say knäckebrot?
Knäckebrot. Yeah.
Oh, that was good.
Yeah, knäckebrot.
In the knäckebrot, you don't see it, but I think this is all very good to start first with it.
Yeah.
And then you're addicted to it.
And many people also know sushi. So they make a huge effort there.
Yeah.
And especially the South Korean kitchen. Are so interesting, I think. I would love to go to South Korea.
Are you in contact with Slow Food? I'm just thinking about.
No.
The Slow Food Initiative. I'm just thinking that this could be something very interesting for the Slow Food organization, what you're doing here.
No, not yet.
So?
Not yet.
Okay. A lot of people to convince, but convince is not the right word, I think. No,
it's like the sushi. It's just should start some point, and I think especially with young people, And I'm also getting so big in my business now, so I should look out to have some associate or something, to someone to help me, because I'm very good to event and go to the sea and harvest it, but all the sale and running a company, that part is boring for me. Because
you need more than 24 hours.
Yeah, so I need people to help me also.
Okay,
because
if you want to work with Jens, and he's a very nice guy.
Text me.
Yeah. Text him.
Yeah.
Yeah. Or even if you just want to see what he's doing, I think he's willing to show you.
Yeah, of course.
Thanks a lot, Jens.
Welcome.
So and now I can.
Yeah, let's taste. Yeah.
I love it. I'm so curious to try the fish now.
Yeah.
One last word, message.
Yeah.
From your side.
Be open-minded especially, I think we have a huge problem with our young people. We have to give them hope instead of say, "Oh, it's so disgusting. Oh, we are polluting," and we have to give them hope. So this is much about hope for a better future. And live very well. That it's very important that we have some good food. Life is much about food.
Mange tak.
Willkommen.
Tusen Dank.
Tusen Dank.
Willkommen. Und dann habe ich mich noch mit Bernd Sørensen vom Community Ocean Garden in Kerteminde getroffen und habe mir angeschaut, wie sie dort auf einer Plattform Miesmuscheln und Zuckertank kultivieren. Ein wirklich sehr spannendes Underwater Urban Gardening, was dort betrieben wird. Und dieses Gespräch habe ich auf Deutsch geführt. So, und ich bin jetzt hier in Kerteminde und treffe mich mit Bernd. Hallo erstmal.
Ja, hallo. Ein bisschen Deutsch kann ich, aber nicht. Ja. Wir hoffen, dass das geht.
Und wir sitzen hier bei wunderbarem Sonnenschein vor einem Fischerhäuschen, vor einer Fischerhütte und haben gerade eure kleine Urban Blue Water Farm, oder wie heißt sie, beschaut.
Es ist ein Community Garden.
Underwater Community Garden.
Ja, ein Ocean Garden, oder?
Das ist hier der kleine, den habt ihr hier im Hafen. Der ist.
Das ist hier eine kleine Plattform. Es ist 5x7 Meter weit und da züchten wir blaue Muscheln und auch Zuckertangen. Ja.
Zuckertangen, habe ich gesehen. Mhm. Und die Blaumuscheln, die hängen hier eigentlich reif zur Ernte und zum Essen.
Ja.
Ja, und da kommen dann die Community-Mitglieder her.
Ja. Und sie können alles nehmen, was sie brauchen zum Mittag. Sie können jederzeit hier kommen und nehmen, was sie brauchen für das Mittagessen.
Und es gibt nicht nur die Blaumuscheln hier, sondern es gibt auch Blaumuscheln ein bisschen weiter draußen. Da habt ihr noch ein großes Feld.
Eine große Anlage, das ist 2 Hektar. Und da züchten wir auch Blaumuscheln und speziell züchten wir dort Zuckertang.
Ja. Und den Zuckertang, das durfte ich eben probieren, der wird zum Beispiel für Bier genutzt.
Ja, ja.
Und das ist ganz großartig. Ja. Aber so limitiert. Ich habe zwar 2 Flaschen mitbekommen, aber es gibt insgesamt nur 200 Flaschen. Je Sorte.
Je Sorte pro aber wir machen vielmal 200 Flaschen.
Also unentwegt.
Ja, unentwegt. Mehr Male im Jahr.
Ja. Und das machst du?
Ja, das mache ich.
Und hast dir das Rezept auch überlegt?
Ja, ganz genau, ja.
Aber du bist eigentlich kein Bierbrauer?
Nein, aber Hobbybrauer von früher. Und da haben wir gedacht, was können wir denn mit die Zuckerzangen alles machen. Und da haben wir experimentiert und jetzt machen wir ein IPA und ein Stout mit Zuckerzangen.
Und das ist so köstlich, aber man kann es leider, wie gesagt, nicht erwerben. Man müsste hier wohnen und Mitglied der Community werden.
Ja, man kann einfach Mitglied werden.
Und, ach, kann und ich auch so? Kann ich auch von Hamburg aus Mitglied der Community
ja,
werden?
Ja,
ich muss aber hierher kommen, um mir meine Muscheln zu holen.
Das stimmt, ja.
Die schickt mir keiner.
Nein.
Arbeite ich denn als Community-Mitglied auch mit hier im Unterwassergarten?
Ja, wir helfen alle dabei, den Garten in Funktion zu halten. Und zweimal das Jahr, da werden alle die Mitglieder treffen sich und da kommen sie und sortieren die Muscheln und wir machen auch nehmen die Zuckerzangen wird auch gezüchtet und auch wieder harvest.
Ja, und es gibt ein großes Essen dann.
Und ja, wir haben eigentlich jeder erster Montag im Monat haben wir ein Essen für alle Mitglieder.
Okay.
Und das wird sehr, sehr gut besucht. Wir jetzt sind typisch 40 Personen da und da experimentieren wir mit was wir aus den Muscheln und den Zuckerzangen machen kann und ja, das ist sehr populär, ja.
Es gibt ja auch immer wieder was Neues zu entdecken dann, was man damit machen kann, nicht?
Ja.
Was ist dein Lieblingsrezept mit Zuckerzangen?
Ja, also wir eigentlich gibt es ganz ganz viel ab. Wir machen viel Muschelsuppe und aber in viele Varianten. Da kommt Zuckerzangen rein auch, ja. Und, und wir haben auch Zuckerzangen in unser Gebäck und
mit du kannst das, auch backen damit, ja?
Ja, absolut.
Ja, ja klar. Ja. Brot auch,
ja,
sicherlich.
Ja, sehr gut, Brot, ja.
Also, vielfältig einsetzbar. Und das Gute ist, hier dürfen auch Schulklassen herkommen.
Ja.
Und werden da angeleitet oder es wird ihnen gezeigt, was man, wie das hier funktioniert.
Ja, dieser Plattform ist auch geeignet dafür, dass Schulkindern hier kommen können und da werden sie unterrichtet von einer anderen Institution, die unsere Plattform benutzt. Und es ist sehr, sehr sehr gut da zu sehen, dass die Schüler, die sind wirklich interessiert.
Ja. Und es ist ja gerade insbesondere auch interessant, weil es hier ja früher mal eine sehr, sehr vitale Fischindustrie gab und heute nicht mehr so viel Fisch da ist.
Nein.
Könnte das eine Zukunft sein für ehemalige Fischer, da mehr aktiv zu werden in diesem Feld?
Ja, da wird auch daran gearbeitet, dass man als Fischer in kleiner Anlagen auch Zuckerzangen oder Muscheln züchten können und da ein wenig Geld dazu verdienen können.
Ja. Und diese Anlage, so wie sie hier steht, also dieser, ich nenne ihn mal Ponton, den gibt es an mehreren Stellen in Dänemark. Den gibt, das ist jetzt ein Modell, das man quasi bestellen kann.
Ja, dieser Ponton ist speziell, weil man kann die ist speziell eingerichtet dafür, dass man die Muscheln mit einem Heber aufheben kann und damit viele Muscheln.
Ganz bequem, mit so einem Flaschenzug kann man drehen mit einer kleinen.
Ja. Aber mehr primitiv geht auch. Es sind fast 30 Gärten. Wie die hier in Kerteminde in Dänemark.
Ja.
Und viele haben einfach eine kleine Plattform gebaut, selbst gebastelt. Und das geht auch. Es
wird mehr, auf jeden Fall.
Ja.
Und würdest du denn sagen, dass Dänemark da Vorreiter ist? was dieses Farming angeht? Weil ich meine, Algen und Muscheln werden natürlich schon immer gegessen und auch überall. Und aber diese Form des Farmings?
Ja, das denke ich. Und speziell diese Community-Art zu farmen ist sehr, sehr beliebt und speziell für Dänemark. Und wir haben auch Interesse von Deutschland und die nordischen Ländern, dass sie sowas auch machen wollen. Und da da haben wir viele wir sehen uns dann und geben unser Wissen weiter.
Ich finde es toll, vor allen Dingen, weil es eben hier auch mitten im Hafen platziert werden kann einmal. Gut, du brauchst natürlich einen gewissen Salzgehalt im Wasser. Und man kann es natürlich eben, wie du sagtest, auch außerhalb machen und dann eben in größeren Feldern.
Ja.
Ja. Nennt ihr das Felder? Nee.
Ja, das kann man so nennen. Und das ist richtig, wenn die Salzmenge hoch ist, dann geht es besser zum Züchten, aber weniger geht auch. Und wir haben sehr große verschiedene Salzmengen in die dänischen Gewässern. Und das geht auch bei niedrigen Mengen von Salz.
Ich kriege hier von Bernd gleich so ein Miniset mit und werde es mal undercover als Guerilla-Aktion versuchen. Genau. Ich sage natürlich nicht wo, weil es ist ja eigentlich nicht erlaubt.
Das ist nicht erlaubt. In Deutschland ist das nicht.
Das ist nicht erlaubt.
Nein. In Dänemark ist es easier. It is easier to get a license.
Und für private Zwecke sowieso.
Ja.
Ja. Ja. Ich wünsche euch ganz viel Glück mit eurer Community. Und ich muss mir tatsächlich überlegen, ob ich hier eintrete. Wie hoch ist denn die Mitgliedschaft?
Es ist 600 dänische Kronen pro Jahr.
Ach, das ist aber überschaubar.
Ja, das ist sehr, sehr aber
ob
günstig.
Ob ich das jeden Montag schaffe, zum Essen zu kommen?
Nein, das... aber weniger geht auch.
Weniger geht auch, alles klar. Und mein Bier kriege ich auch.
Ja, natürlich.
Ja, ich überlege es mir.
Also, ja, tu das.
Herzlichen Dank, Bernd. Vielen Dank und wir verabschieden uns aus Kerteminde. Schön hier übrigens, sehr schön. Kommt mal her, unbedingt. Danke.
Dank. Bitte schön.
Und wir sagen herzlichen Dank fürs Zuhören. Schön, dass du dabei warst. Und wir hoffen natürlich, dass du das Thema Algen genauso spannend findest wie wir und freuen uns, wenn du auch bei der nächsten Folge dabei bist und diesen Podcast abonnierst, folgst und natürlich auch empfiehlst. Und ganz besonders freuen wir uns natürlich über eure Bewertungen und Kommentare bei Apple Podcast und Spotify. Denn das sorgt dafür, dass der Algentalk sichtbarer wird und mehr Aufmerksamkeit bekommt. Ihr könnt euch auf jeden Fall freuen auf die nächste Folge, die in einem Monat erscheint. Und bis dahin alles Gute und probiert mal ein paar Algen.